Speaking of deconstruction, one thing that I'd be really interested in is hearing Gustav and Peter deconstruct some tier one dick and explain why the bits are in it that are
why there. That is a good mech.
Or why a person did what they did. Like, why are these cards here?
All right, Michael, pick that deck, all right? This is going to be our last thing, all right? I think I know which one because we talked about this before.
I'm going to pick
the
Gorge Master. I want you guys to explain how the Gorge Master works and why it works, because the first time I saw this thing, I did not understand it, and it opened up doors in my mind to how you might build a deck that were completely closed before.
And I'll pop that up on the screen so viewers can watch. First, so you guys don't have to worry about
from explaining. From 1999. And what did it place in 2000? I don't think it made... Yeah, it's a first place winner in 99, and I don't know who played it.
Yeah, this is a really good teaching deck, actually.
Look at the name, the cards that are included in there that we ended up in wanting to include in that Inner Sphere deck.
All right. So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the unit selection or the other card selection or what?
Let's start with the unit selection because that's the background, and then that'll explain the other cards as well as the resource choices.
Yeah, I think I've played this game or this deck a handful of times. The core is definitely the C3. You know, it takes full advantage of access to Owens and Owens Revised to give itself...
We generally consider that not permitted anymore, right?
Yeah, well, back then it was A-okay. So he's got the fire starters, the Owens, and the Owens Revised. And
those fire starters with ECM, huge.
Yes.
Huge.
And the other one actually is pretty good, too. I have a Merrick deck. The very first deck I usually take against people is usually that fire has a fire starter in it. Very solid mech for its cost.
So we're looking at the fire starter FS9 OF.
Yeah,
that's a 1/6/3 with an overheat 3+1 and jump, which is nice because we'll talk about that in the other cards that he has in there.
Yeah, no, it's
what's interesting here to me is that the C3 deck theme seems relatively weak. I mean, yes, he's got his 9 Owenses, so he's got 13 C3 mix out of a rough 24. That seems low. When I build C3 decks, I tend to assume that I'm building them with all units having C3, or at least most units. But he's got barely more than half of his units use C3. That seems weird to me.
Well, if you look at the generic Inner Sphere units with C3, because that's all that Merrick has access to, I believe. I mean, your only quality stuff there is the Owens and the Firestarter. The Cyclops is okay, but it's pretty expensive for what it does.
What's wrong with the Blackjack?
Slow.
1/7, it's slow. Yeah, it can get hunted by itself. And by itself, it only has 3 base attack. It's not worth it.
And then you look at the other mechs in here are all very good on their own. They don't need any support to function. The Huron Warriors, the Firestarters, the Saladins, Galaglass, Anvil Revised, they're really good mechs.
You only got one Anvil Revised.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising to me. I don't know if you would have modified that in the future. I would have taken Anvil Revised over both the Galaglass and the Rhondas Highlander. But
the Anvil Revised, it's Shyster's Anvil. It's kind of like I think this is Shyster's deck. I'm pretty sure it is. And it's kind of like his signature deck and the name of the deck. So I think that it's his choice, his preferred choice. Now, Rhondas Highlander is interesting in that it has that hugely overcosted one missile, but it has the built-in intimidating paint job, like the Widowmaker, just like
Yanlo
Wang, and that by itself has the ability to turn a battle. And it has no problem fighting on its own.
Have munitions. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong decks. He does have munitions. Yeah, he does. Apologize. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. He has to have munitions.
I apologize. Yep.
So the Saladins, of course, are the bane of all dashers. That's why we have the 4 Saladins. A zero cost, free deploy, fast, that can do 3 damage is a huge boon. I understand why some people choose to play 6. Because of his fast mech choices, it's better for him. I might even have 4 Owen Revised. I've built the... the Evil Owens decks and had 12 Owens in my deck before. If you're going for having that fast bonus with C3, the double Owens attacking at the same time is great. Sometimes the choice is to put in, is it Mech Warrior and Commander's Edition have the Gearhead. One Gearhead on there puts you at the magic number 7 between the two of them. It's pretty nice.
Okay. I think Merrick too might even have access to
Chaos March Veteran.
Chaos March Veteran, yeah.
So absolutely. You and I are thinking the same language, Peter.
I actually kind of agree. The Saladin's pretty good against the Dashers, but you know, he doesn't really need it with 9, it'd be even more Owens if he jumped Saladins. And they're not great in the other matchups. They're okay. And they can be a good damage boost, but I'm not sure he actually needs the full 4. Certainly doesn't need 6. But right. I might cut that to 3.
I think
and add another Owens. Saladin. Make it 10 Owens and drop the Saladins down to 3.
I know. I would disagree. I think the Saladins are great because if you get a Saladin first round, it's like first round dash where you destroy a person's card under construction. Except that it's a free deploy, cheaper version of it. Yes, you lose the Saladin for the next round, but that's no big shakes, right?
Right.
Well, on an open board, you always want to alpha strike it anyway because it does more damage that way. 3 every other turn is better than 1 every turn.
Especially considering that its odds of dying are sufficiently high right. in any engagement. Yeah, yeah, you alpha strike a Saladin every turn. So, no, I definitely agree that the Saladins are a great choice because, of course, you play your first match and you get that Saladin out and you knock the other person's card under construction out. They know you're playing. You know you're playing Inner Sphere, so they're like, oh, I can put if I'm going second, I can do 1 and then tap to put a resource on because I know he doesn't have any dashers because he's an Inner Sphere player. And out comes the Saladin and whoops it. And then the next time they're a little more cautious. I see the value of that for sure.
Well, Saladin doesn't dash, does it?
No, it doesn't, but it's a free-to-play.
It's a free-to-play. Nope. But it's still, like, you get it out first turn then. Can you do that?
Yeah, you can drop it turn 1. Just drop it, and then the munitions.
Yep, you play the free-to-play first, and then you get right. the yes. munitions yes. afterwards, and it's out the first turn, which is why it deters that evil dasher.
Yep.
So let's move on to the medium speed. I mean, we talked about the fire starters, the Huron Warrior with the AT buyout, 4 cost.
Just seems like a reasonable mech. Nothing, no great shakes, but solid.
I look at it as just it has good options. Most of the time, I just assume it's going to overheat. So it's an 8 hit point mech that does 4 damage that can occasionally make itself tougher.
Yeah.
And that it looks a lot better when you look at it that way.
Yep. And if they chump, So you still get 1 to the stockpile.
Right.
Yep.
That's a bonus.
Yep. It's a good make. I would have replaced the 2 Gallow Glasses with 2 more anvils personally. But
I think the Gallow Glass is an interesting call. I'm not sure. It's tough to know what his meta was. Like, I'm looking through this deck and I think he looks like he's scared to death of clan decks. Because, I mean, outside of the Saladins and the Owens, he also has main deck Gorges, main deck Falsified Maps, 2 more Gorges in the sideboard, and another Saladin.
Yep.
He doesn't have main deck Falsified Maps, but he does have 3 in his sideboard.
Yeah. Yeah. So what he's thinking is, look, people are going to be playing clan fast decks, hunt down, or they're going to be playing clan decks where I need to have a Gorge down, and then I map for a second Gorge, and I take out all of his elemental points. That's why there are so many Gorges and maps in that deck, is that the iteration on how you play out the maps in the Gorge is such that you can get 4 damage to every attacking mech.
So we should explain that. The idea is that someone's attacking you, you've got a Rocky Gorge, it does 2 damage to every attacking mech, and then when it's your turn, so you play the ability of the Rocky Gorge, and then you play Falsified Maps to go and get a new terrain. Guess what? It's another Rocky Gorge. You put it down, you replace the previous Rocky Gorge, and you play its ability as well. And now you've done 4 damage to every attacker.
Yes.
It's a bit of an unthematic combination, but it's fun.
It's winning against clan is what it is. It's winning against clan.
Right.
That sounds like the things that they did to beat the clans. It's definitely Comstar. That's Anastasia's Fox, you know, got written all over it right there.
Right.
Like coming to my Rocky Gorge. Well, I've got a Rocky Gorge on my Rocky Gorge.
And you could jump. I mean, these mechs have jump, so you can play it and surprise them, and it's yeah.
Rocky Gorge is one of the few cards in the game that is not just an excellent tool against swarm decks and fast decks like Dasher decks, but it's also a good card to have in your deck anyway. Right? It's good. It's decent all the time and exceptionally good some of the time.
More or less, I feel right now at the tournament level, Falsified Map and Rocky Gorge should both be in your main deck of just about every deck. Because the only matchup I think it's even subpar in is against Clan Big Mac.
Right.
You are always going to be happy when you see that those cards in your hand. You're always going to be happy, at least in competitive play.
Yeah. I mean, the game right now is so fast and low to the ground. We have dashers, elementals, vehicles, and it just crushes all of them. And in a lot of cases, it's the only thing that crushes all of them. So, yeah.
What's the price right now on a falsified map?
You know, I'm sure the people that are selling it have no idea what it's worth.
Yeah, there are some cards out there that are valuable and expensive because they're not only rare, but they also are the only way to accomplish a certain goal. So if you think about cards as having like a substitution value, so for example, the Black Lantern Prime is a cool rare and it does some cool stuff. But the substitution value is if I wanted a Black Lantern Prime, I could play Jade Falcon and use a Black Lantern A, and that's a common card. And
so or Grendel Prime,
which is another common card. So the dollar value of a Black Lantern Prime is never going to be that high. But with falsified maps and with Hasty Alliance as another example, there is no other way. There's no like cheap rent way of doing what they do. There's only the expensive way. And so if you want to go scan a copy of the thing and you know, use your color printer and solve your problem that way, I don't think anybody's going to be upset.
You know, this game is dead. Proxies are completely fine.
Yeah.
Completely fine. I have no problem playing with proxies against anybody that sits across my kitchen table.
If they were to be able to get to an island in Alaska.
In the Pacific, correct.
Jeepers. All right. So yes. What about the so we talked about the mix. Let's talk about the other cards.
So let me say about this, because you said this was a good deck to learn on. I actually learned a lot from this deck as well. And you see he's running, it's basically a singleton mission strategy. And so we talked about this, you know, the big advantage of this is surprise value. You never know what he's got in his hand and what's coming to mess with your mission. But it also runs studied move. And so I mentioned this earlier, I run two or three, he usually just runs one. It means that even though it's a surprise what's coming, his deck still has some consistency to it and maintains a huge toolbox besides. We talked earlier, he's got a bunch of jumpers. At any time, he can jump, studied move, and pull any mission he needs to turn that battle around.
And the missions that he's choosing that have the ability to do one way or the other, you're looking at heavy fog. You can keep your mechs alive off of a block or off of an attack if they have a surprise. You have risky combat jump. Where you could jump, go bad, and then play a heavy fog.
Right.
There's just so many different choices.
Remember that in a typical situation, the most important thing that you can do with a mission card is generate a kill where one did not exist or prevent a kill where one did exist. So heavy fog in the right situation can prevent two kills, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
I think even more risky combat
jump. Risky combat jump can prevent a kill and create a kill.
One. And that's why, even though we're going back to all our points, even though you use dice rolls, it is seen so much because no other card has the potential to turn a board around like Risky does.
Absolutely. This is another one of like the core ways in which the CCG does not model the board game. In the board game, the more damaged a mech is, the fewer weapons it can bring to bear. It would be a very interesting house rule to play. I have no idea how balanced this would be. It'd just be interesting to say every damage counter on a unit counts as a -1 attack counter as an idea.
You know, I thought that exact same thing earlier on in our conversation where when Peter was bringing up the fact that you know, units are max power until they're dead, you know. Yep. And so I was like, what if you just negative one for every structure damage? So that's interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Or maybe like negative one for every two or something, because they're still gonna have weapons.
Even simplify it, half structure, half damage. Yep. But yeah, it needs to be to a minimum two as well. They shouldn't be toothless, you know. You can
go to nothing. Chump blockers can still block. I would say something like, because a structure point costs half a resource and an attack point costs one resource. Like every 2 points of structure would represent minus one attack down to a minimum of one, right? Yeah. Theoretically.
Okay.
So you have to have one so you could jump.
Or just so it's relevant. Yeah. I mean, just so you use it as anything other than a chump blocker. Because there's very few times, even in the tabletop, where a mech is completely toothless.
Right.
It happens, but it's not super common.
Yeah, it's somewhere they could have gone.
That's a house rule that I would enjoy. There's another game out there that I play in the Wheel of Time that's popular, that every damage is one ability lost, one number of an ability lost. You choose. Mm-hmm. So that's consistent.
Awesome. Yep. There we go. We got a nice house rule out of this. That was good.
Anyway, we were talking about the singleton mission strategy and how some of these missions work well. I'm surprised that Overrun is missing. I would have thought if you have one Forge mission orders and one studied move, then you should have one Overrun. Just for the threat, if nothing else.
I think, like I said, looking at this deck, this seems very optimized to me against clan. Overwhelm, very anti-clan card. Heavy Fog is an anti-clan card.
Why is Heavy Fog an anti-clan card?
Well, it strongly favors the defender because it's not applied equally. They get minus two attack and prevent two damage. So I think Mark had a big article on this, actually, where he used three Fenris Primes versus three Fenris Primes. And he said, okay, their Fenris Primes now each do one damage for a total of three. Yours still do all three for a total of nine minus two for seven damage left. So in that trade-off, your three Fenris Primes would kill one of his, and his would barely scratch yours. Right. Heavy Fog works because it's not symmetrical. It looks symmetrical, but it's incredibly one-sided for the defender. Yeah.
It's a huge good defender card, and Clan is so aggressive at the outstart. You want to have the Saladins, you want to have the Heavy Fog, you want to have the Rocky Gorges and the maps, because Clan has a huge advantage at the beginning of nearly every game, generally.
The other thing I'll note is I don't think he needs the Overrun. He's got Blitzkrieg and Final Push in the main board. Yeah, and with the studied move, he plays like he has more of those than he needs anyway. So,
right. Okay.
I love Blitzkrieg. Blitzkrieg is why you play Merrick.
It's a top three mission in the game.
Blitzkrieg is why you play Merrick. It's right up there with the Jade Falcon. Or
Steel not Talons.
Steel Talons. Yeah.
And Vipers. Yeah, I think those two and Vipers will have me my top three in some order. Maybe Falsified Maps cracks that list. I don't
know. Steel Talons?
Yeah.
I love Steel Talons.
So that would be the top five, right? Blitzkrieg.
Steel Talons, Viper's Maw, Falsified Maps. Pit Spots, open for debate. I think it starts getting nuanced after that.
Yeah.
Risky combat jump.
It's probably risky, but
Or superior nav or something.
Or even overrun. I mean, it starts getting a little fuzzy after that.
Yeah.
Those four or five are definitely the top missions in the game.
Right.
All right, guys, this is awesome content, but I think we're kind of turning into a pumpkin here. So, one thing I definitely want to do, I like to do the little giveaways, so people can kind of get engaged in comments and kind of, everyone likes a little gamble giveaway. So, I'll kind of put together those two decks that we came up with after we'll do some optimization, kind of get them perfect. And then kind of, I'll make the winner of whatever I kind of decide to kind of get those two decks mailed out to them so they can kind of have a little.
You know what you should do? I mean, let's build them in Lackey and let's play some games on them, see what we can figure out.
And that's one thing a lot of people have asked about watching games. And so I definitely want to kind of coordinate with either Multiview to kind of get some games recorded, get a commentary overlaid over them and kind of start putting that up. Because I think people really want that, and I think it'll really help them to see the actual game played rather than just us talking about it for 2-3 hours.
So, I can Twitch Battletech if I put Lackey back on my computer.
Gotcha.
Cool. Yeah, I got mine set up now. So, I mean, yeah, I'd definitely be down to do it. I just need some advice on setting up recording.
Yeah. So you guys get that recorded. I can plug it onto the channel, you know, with over with a, you know, talk over. And yeah, people can watch that. That'd be awesome.
I can also send, I'm going to send you, now that I have your address, Travis, I can send you a bunch of those cards. Awesome. I've got hundreds and hundreds of extra rares.
Yeah. And for those listening,
I can send them all to you.
Yeah. For those listening,
yeah, you're going to get a lot of orbital bombardment.
This isn't superior navigation.
Well, I'm going to, like, for those listening, I talked to Gustav. He's going to forward me some cards. And I was basically going to use those to just create a bunch of kind of decks. And we were going to come up with some basic, some very kind of straightforward kind of learning decks and just kind of start handing them out or selling them to people for basically what shipping was if they're engaged with the channel. Maybe if they hop on the Patreon.
Right. Yeah.
If they hop on the Patreon, they're supporting the channel there. We can kind of send you some good starter decks. Because I realized after I did that giveaway for the last one, I was like, oh, I'm giving away a starter and some stuff. But if people are playing the game, they actually need like two starters and two starters that actually have some playability, yeah. You know, if they're going to get into it. So, yeah, we'll try to do that with these kind of little giveaways to help support the community as we're also trying to build it with these episodes.
Build some decks. Yeah. I mean, I have so many decks that already are built, all the different themes. And I'm sure most of these people that are 20 plus year veterans at this point in time who have built decks over the decades now have just dozens of decks built, ready to go, that obviously aren't seeing much play at this point in time in my life. I'd be happy to share it with you guys.
Awesome. And if there's people listening that have thousands of cards and they want to kind of donate to the cause, I'm sure we can get plenty of good learning decks just built on basic cards that they want to take to top competitive, but you know, they can still, people can learn the game playing their not so great, playing their Leo showers is out there, even though that's a rare.
The orbital bombardments.
Bombardments. Yes. Awesome.
Leo, I think, saw a play in the first Worlds, didn't he? He was in Cyborg or something.
He was somewhere.
Yeah, he was. He would never see play today, but yeah, he made it into the first Worlds.
Well, that's it. That would be interesting to explore. And I'm going to, you know, like I said, I'm going to try to, I've tracked down Terry. He actually messaged me while we were talking. I didn't see what the message was, though, and try and get kind of some people. If I can get Terry and Peter to just talk about kind of their back and forth.
No, that'd be fantastic.
I got to find Peter, you know, to do that. But it sounds
like Mark in there too. Yeah, you'd have a good collection of guys. There's a lot of war stories.
Yep, I got Mark in there. Yeah. Mark's ready to go whenever we get it organized. So yeah, there's some great episodes coming up. But
Peter is more of a friend of a friend for me. But I have good friends that are good friends with Peter, and I'll reach out to them.
Awesome. Yeah, let them know what we're trying to do. That'd be awesome.
I just wanted to tell we were completely wrong in our analysis of the deck.
Is Shyster Shane Koo?
We don't know.
Is that Shane Koo? Because I'm still friends with him. He's a computer programmer in Hong Kong, I think.
First of all, you can ask him. And second of all, you could probably ask Mark. He'd probably know.
Mark would know. Yeah, I could ask Mark.
Right.
Hey, thanks, Travis. This has been a good time.
Yeah, this has been great. Thanks.
I appreciate you guys. It's been fun. Do you guys have any kind of links or stuff you want to kind of plug before we sign off? You
know, nothing that wasn't people's attention. In the original show. Come to the Facebook group, read the announcements, say hello. Awesome. Get online, Lackey, TTS.
I'd like to do Travis and Michael, if you guys could do like a video tutorial, like a recorded tutorial of setting Lackey up.
Yep. I will be happy to do that. Travis hit me up. I know the tutorial's in the announcements, but
a video tutorial. That would be fantastic. Because I'm very much visual learner.
I thought about that today. Like literally, I was like, oh, people hate learning for themselves. They just want to follow a to-do video. Yep. And so
YouTube video. Perfect. Make it happen.
Awesome. I wonder too if we should think about it. I mean, do you think we could host our own custom Lackey itself? Because I think a lot of the problems I see are just the basic macro settings and the basic backgrounds aren't set up for BattleTech. And I mean, I've never had a problem with it because I've customized mine, you know, years ago. But yeah, for people that are struggling with it, maybe we should look at hosting our own.
Let's talk. It's out of development. We don't have access to the source code, but let's talk about that later. I think there's probably some stuff we can do. Cool.
Awesome. All right, guys, that's it. Let's sign off. I appreciate it. And thanks. We'll talk more.
Thank you. All right.